Live from Distorted View Daily's Global Retarded Weather Center, here's Frankie McDonald with his oddly horny five-day forecast.
It looks pretty warm outside Sydney, Nova Scotia today, and the sun is out in Sydney, Nova Scotia. I'm doing so well so far, and I'm doing really good in my weather reports, and lots of women and ladies are getting a picture taken with me, especially in bikinis, since it will be really awesome, since a lot of women love me so much, and I have a ton of fans out there, and more women will be getting a picture taken with me, especially in bikinis, since I'm doing so well, and I love a lot of women so much. And it's going to be a warm day in Sydney, Nova Scotia. And it's going to be hot in Sydney, Nova Scotia as well. Since I'm doing really well on my videos and I have a ton of fans out there. And more women will be getting a picture taken with me. Especially with those bikinis since I'm doing so well. It's very warm outside in Sydney, Nova Scotia. And I'm doing so well on my videos. I have a ton of fans out there. Thank you very much.
Here we go. We're at it again. It's Distorted Review 2017. I'm still a microphone-less Tim Henson. I'm using the internal mic on my MacBook to record this intro. Tomorrow, I hope to have part of my studio set up so I can record these things properly. Anyway, today we're looking back at July and August of 2017. We start with a crushing blow to my childhood. Mavis Beacon teaches typing was a lie!
Start by me challenging everything you know to be good and true in this world. I'm talking about Mavis Beacon teaches typing. Mavis Beacon isn't real! Did you know that? What? Why would someone lie? Why would someone make that up? People just being cruel. She's like Betty Crocker. Or to be more racially accurate, Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima, are you there? I'm just dying to hear some words of wisdom learned down on the plantation. Oh, I be coming, Mr. Tim. My feet just be so sore. You know, when you live down on the southern farms, the only thing that stings more than the hot afternoon sun is the mean plantation manager's whip if you ain't be picking the crops fast enough. That's why there's an old farm trick us black folk use. We take an old rusty tack or nail from the shitting shed and we put it in the bottom of our shoe. It hurts, but it keeps us from standing still for too long.
What the hell does that have to do with pancakes? Aunt Jemima, this is not words of wisdom that white people can use.
Seems to me you're just bursting with one of your happy sayings.
Well, I is, Mr. Charlie. The old folks, they says you doubles your own happiness when you shares it with other folks.
And now, Aunt Jemima, one of your old plantation sayings, if you will.
It's a pleasure, folks, to remind you all that the Lord meant for the sky to be blue. But if the day is blue, it's probably our fault.
True, Aunt Jemima.
And you're always happy, aren't you, Aunt Jemima?
I sure is, Charlie. I sure is.
I mean, shame. Shame on Charlie for exploiting Aunt Jemima. Even back in the 20s, that should have been recognized as racist, right? You know what, though? As a kid, when I first saw Mavis Beacon teaches typing, I thought she was a real woman. Up until a few hours ago, I thought she was a real woman. I don't know when the first release, the first version of Mavis Beacon teaches typing, but it had to have been in, what, the late 80s? And I think it's pretty progressive that the software company chose a black woman to be Mavis Beacon. You look, they put a big picture of her on the cover of the software and everything. She looked like a teacher, she's in a very conservative outfit, but there was a black woman, and that's why I thought she was real, because what company would choose a black mascot? You're turning off a large population of people wanting to learn to type in the South, probably. You know what I mean? You'd think the company would play it safe. Hire an old white woman, to be the model for Mavis Beacon, but no, they went black. Good for them! And it was like, it was a real black woman. To this day, you look at boxes of Aunt Jemima and you're like, there's something off about this. This still feels a little racist. The company has changed up Aunt Jemima's image over the, you go back to the 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. It was super racist, you know, very black, very big lip, you know, that whole thing. But you look at Aunt Jemima today and she still don't look right. She don't look like what black people actually look like. All right, so Mavis Beacon, what a trailblazer. Unfortunately, again, she's not real. I'm guessing if you're younger, you might not even know who Mavis Beacon is or what the software was. It was just like, it was a program to help you learn how to type. I don't even think that shit is necessary today because kids are born, like they're shot out of the womb and they know how to text. Typing is just something kids pick up, but for us older folk, we needed to be taught how to press down on keys.
Hi, I'm Mavis Beacon. I'm here to help you improve your typing skills.
Yeah, this is the newest version of Mavis Beacon. And this was kind of my first clue that she wasn't real because the image on the box of the software, Mavis Beacon, looks younger than she did in the 80s.
You can take a lesson, practice typing, jump right into the fun with a typing game, or make another selection from the menu.
So what I learned from a Vice article, I looked this up, and of course, there's been publications to report on this very important issue about is Mavis Beacon real. Vice was there doing the good work, the investigative work they're known for. They determined that no, Mavis Beacon was not real. Not only is she not real, she didn't even know how to type. The real Mavis Beacon was just some woman that the software people found at a mall, like, fragrance counter. She's an old Haitian woman with 3-inch nails. She couldn't type if she wanted to. Physically, it was hard for her to type. And so she was like, you want to take a picture of me? Is this for porn? And they're like, no, this is a software thing. You're going to be like the face of the software. And she's like, why would you want me? I've got these nails. I don't look like a teacher. And they're like, well, take care of it. So they dressed her super conservatively and they made sure to never photograph her hands. The other interesting thing I learned from the article was that one of the guys who worked on Mavis Beacon Teaches Typing was named Les Crane. And back in the 60s and 70s, he produced or recorded a bunch of weird spoken word music.
You are a child of the universe.
Like, this is some hippy-dippy shit, right?
No less than the trees and the stars.
This must have been at the start of that New Age bullshit.
Go placidly amid the noise and haste.
There's our guy.
And remember what peace there may be in silence.
Less crane.
As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons.
The thing I always want to know about spoken word music is, like, where can you listen to it where you don't come off looking like a weirdo? You can't put this record on during a party. This doesn't work following the Bee Gees.
Speak your truth quietly and clearly and listen to others.
You can't listen to it in your car with the windows down. You look like a weirdo. I guess it's kind of appropriate if you're just lying in your bed trying to go to sleep, you know, with your headphones on. It's like those hypnosis or affirmation CDs. You are a good person. I am a good person.
The dull and ignorant.
Yeah, I'm dull and ignorant.
Their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons.
But most of all, avoid long fingernailed Haitian women trying to teach you typing. Just to prove that Les Crane wasn't a one-hit wonder.
There will come a time, I know.
I know.
When people will take delight in one another.
One another.
When each will be a star to the other. And when each will listen to his fellow as to music.
Listen to the music. And each will listen to his fellow.
Well, this one I can kind of dance to at least. So this is the man who taught a generation to type. Not a prim and proper black woman. Some fucking new age creep. Some dude driving around in a windowless van. And he pulls up to children on the sidewalk. Hey, do you kids want to learn how to type?
I got some computers in here. It's all about using your fingers and finger placement. I'll show you where to put your fingers.
All right. So I looked up Mavis Beacon. The new Mavis Beacon, you know, they replaced the Haitian woman with. She looks utterly generic. Like, the software developers logged on to Getty or iStock Photo Now or whatever and just did a search for businesswoman black. Paid $50 for the rights to use it, and boom. That's the new Mavis Beacon. All right, so that's Mavis Beacon. I don't know why you guys care about Mavis Beacon. I don't know why I care, but it's, you know, it's one of those things I grew up with as a kid. I never used the software, but I remember seeing her on the shelves of Babbage's. Remember Babbage's? The software store? I think it became GameStop, actually. Anyway, I taught myself how to type, which is why I look like one of those muscular dystrophy kids when I'm pounding on the keyboard. I've got a clip here from a very recent episode of Alex Jones. Now, at first I thought this has to be an old episode, because Alex Jones used to talk about, like, gay frogs, right? I don't know, stuff in the water making frogs gay. Reptilian people infiltrating politics, you know, just nutty stuff. And the stuff he talks about today, still very nutty, but classic Alex Jones almost had a sci-fi spin to this shit. Well, he's going back to his roots, I'm afraid.
But again, I am in a death battle. People ask how I have this much energy. Megyn Kelly asked me what drugs I was on. And I said, I don't use drugs. She was kind of like, really? You don't? I don't know what that meant, but I thought she was trying to, like...
It means you're fucking crazy, and most sane people would think you're on some hallucinogenics or heavy, heavy narcotics. I think it's pretty clear what Megyn Kelly was insinuating when she asked that.
And saying I was on drugs. Folks, I have hundreds of articles I see every week about human-animal chimeras with no rights. You talked about people you know in research labs. I've talked to them, too. You see humanoids. They're like 80% gorilla, 80% pig, and they're talking?
We've all seen that.
Go ahead.
Case Law School in 2006 was hired to develop law for the future of transgenic organisms.
And they're already...
They're talking about Caitlyn Jenner, right?
We're saying we want to force a debate.
What rights are they going to, like, do you get rights as a human if you have 50% DNA? Like, what are the rights that are going
to
be?
We need to make this illegal. This needs to be illegal.
It needs to be
illegal. They're talking about making it illegal to make child pedophile robots.
Hold on a second here. I'm trying to figure out where I stand on this issue, this fake issue that Alex Jones is bringing up. He says that they, I don't know who they are. They are trying to make it illegal for people to make child sex pedophile robots.
Illegal. This needs to be illegal.
It needs to be.
They're
illegal.
Talking about making it illegal to make child pedophile robots.
Child pedophile robots. Does that mean that it's like a child robot for pedophiles? Or is this a robot, like, is an adult-looking robot that has pedophile tendencies? That's quite a dystopian future George Orwell couldn't even see. Why would anyone make a robot programmed to be a pedophile, to befriend other pedophiles? It's gotta be the child thing, right? Like, making, like, a little robot that looks like a kid that a pedophile can fuck. But it sounds like Alex Jones is against the idea of those being illegal.
It needs to be
illegal. They're talking about making it illegal to make child pedophile robots. Okay. Okay. You know, make that illegal. But what about the human spliced with animals? I mean, this is beyond pedophilia.
Why is this illegal?
Okay.
Why is glyphosate legal? Why are
artificial
colors legal?
I don't know what glyphosate is. I will give Alex Jones some credit here. It does sound like a nefarious product.
Consume more glyphosate. Glyphosate gives you life.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, guys, this is my enhanced artificial toddler with asshole in dick, or Meatwad. He's my child pedo sex robot. Meatwad is the model, but you can give them actual names. To be honest, though, I never really like to think of my victims as people. Meatwad 3 will do just fine. I call him Meatwad 3 because I broke the last two doing things to it.
Anything I can get you? A refreshing soda pop some potato chips? How about a kiss on your penis?
Meatwad knows what I like.
I've got succulent child lips.
No, thank you. I'm good.
I can unfasten my back pocket and you can slip your dick in my child rear end while I recite the alphabet, sing nursery rhymes, or cry, whimper, and plead for you to stop.
Okay, I mean, I'm okay with this kind of talk, but I think you're creeping out my audience.
You know, the way a real child would react.
All right, it's getting very real in here, Meatwad.
That gets you hard, doesn't it?
Yeah, the one thing Meatwad's not good at is being discreet.
Little child wiener.
Oh, all right, thank you, Meatwad.
Boy pussy. Boy pussy.
But again, they want to make jokes about it. I mean, it's like the gay frog thing. 20-something years, yeah. They've admitted that that most of the frogs and amphibians and fish are dying.
Dying of frog AIDS. And we all know how frogs get AIDS.
They're horribly deformed. And then it's just a big joke to Colbert. I notice all his attacks make fun of us and how our genetics are being manipulated. They want to make a joke about that with the public so no one cares.
Half gorilla, half pig, half human hybrids. I don't know. That's too many halves. Doesn't matter the percentage of each of those animals. The fact you believe these combination of creatures exist is kind of funny, Alex Jones. Again, was thinking about my childhood growing up in the 90s and how I was kind of a freak. You gotta watch out for those kids with very few friends because they get into weird stuff like me. I got into the occult. It started with Ouija boards or Ouija from the French and German words meaning yes. Ouija literally means yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Is this board a bunch of bullshit? Yes, yes. Oh, I impressed all my friends with my knowledge of the occult and Ouija boards, when in reality, everything I learned about Ouija boards, I learned from a 1980s horror film starring Tawny Katane called Witchboard. Sure, we've talked about that on the podcast over the years. But anyway, as my interest in this New Age occulty stuff grew, I started reading books about witchcraft. I sent away for catalogs, and these catalogs would have all sorts of New Agey bullshit, you know, like leather necklaces with stars and moons on it, and pewter wizards and dragons. Power crystals, crystal balls, and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, I think I posted this on Facebook. There's a photo I took of my sister hugging my mom in my bedroom, like in the 90s, and up on my wall in the background is this huge poster of a wizard summoning some sort of power, like swirling energy beams going around him, like Merlin or something. Now, I'm pretty sure we've talked about this on the program. I was convinced there was this huge New Age revival in the 90s that I got swept up in. I'm not just some sort of outcast burying my nose in the modern witch's spell book. No, it was a whole thing. It was a popular thing. So I thought, I looked this up in Google, right? I was like, New Age, 90s. And all I could find was, New Age, the idea of New Age mysticism was in decline in the 90s. Basically, no one was into it except for me. So yes, I was some sort of weird outcast. But you know, in 1994, Pure Moods, we've talked about the CD Pure Moods full of New Age music. That was a top seller. And Time Life Books had that series Mysteries of the Unknown, which, by the way, I found out was their top selling series of books. They originally, I think, had like 8 or 12 books in the series, and it became the highest selling Time Life book ever, so they had to continue to produce new ones. And they ended up with 33 books in the Mysteries of the Unknown series.
Chicago. A man is about to get on a routine flight. Suddenly, he pauses. He doesn't know why, but he's got to walk away. An hour later, the plane goes down in flames. It's dismissed as chance.
Or it could be dismissed as explosive diarrhea. Maybe he had a Cinnabon before boarding the plane. His stomach started gurgling. He's like, oh, I better visit the John before I get on this thing. It's the price you pay for eating at an Applebee's Express in the airport. Although in this case, it saved his life. Thank you, Salmonella.
And as we're learning, you know, it's not that unusual that people don't board their plane. Remember Seth MacFarlane was supposed to be, you know, the guy who created Family Guy? He was supposed to be on one of those flights that landed inside of the World Trade. I couldn't think of the word crashed. Crashed into the World Trade Center. It didn't land. I guess it kind of did land in the building. This, by the way, is the commercial for the Time Life Mysteries of the Unknown.
Britain. A woman has a sudden image of a black mountain that's moving, with children trapped underneath it. 2 hours later, a Welsh schoolhouse is buried in an avalanche of coal slag.
She had 2 hours! Why wasn't she on the phone calling every Welsh school next to a coal mine? You could have prevented a tragedy. You know, last night I had a dream that a giant pizza with T-Rex arms chased me in a bowling alley, and it was throwing wet clumps of hair at me. I don't know who the hell I'm supposed to call. Bowling alleys? Or maybe this is a Night at the Museum type of situation, where a dinosaur display is going to come to life. I don't know what to do. All right, I need to get the series of books. Time Life will know what to do.
It's dismissed as coincidence. Northern Texas. An unidentified flying object is reported by at least a dozen people. Although there were no storms in the area, it's dismissed as lightning. Now, Time Life Books announces an important new library.
Is it just me, or is that music way too loud?
Mysteries of the Unknown. A series that explores the most controversial phenomena of our time and tells you
psychic power, mystic places.
Everything that can be known. The Midwest. A mother feels a sharp pain in her right hand.
And she started to smell burning toast. It's like, lady, you're having a stroke. Is this a Life Alert commercial? Something got screwed up in the VHS transfer of this.
Far away at that exact same moment, her daughter screams as she touches a hot pan. Just chance.
Wait a second. The last coincidence we played was a woman dreaming about hundreds of children dying in an avalanche of coal. That is not on par with a woman who feels a stinging in her arm and then finding out that her daughter burned her hand picking up a pot.
Or is it telling us something about our own untapped capabilities? Mysteries of the Unknown goes deeper into unexplained phenomena than ever before. It documents the facts.
I will say this, all of the reviews of these Mysteries of the Unknown books are rather glowing. They said, look, you know, these Time Life editors really did research this stuff. They presented it in a fair manner. They weren't dismissing of it, but they weren't saying, like, look, you know, they weren't drinking the Kool-Aid on this shit, but they found, like, research that was related to these things.
And uncovers what people were never willing to talk about.
More, I want more.
Stonehenge. A visitor fashions a wire antenna in the shape of an ancient Egyptian symbol. He points it at the stones, and a surge of power rushes into his arm, knocking him unconscious.
Probably storming out, and a lightning bolt hit it.
Was it all in his mind?
It knocked him unconscious.
Or was it much more than that? To experience Mysteries of the Unknown.
I would be interested in reading these things. Does anyone have a copy of these books? Send it to my P.O. box. I would love to peruse. You know, weird occult New Age Tim is making a comeback. Maybe it's not a good idea that you send it off to me. I'm very impressionable. Well, the reason why I bring this all up, and there is a reason. There's a radio show called Coast to Coast AM. It used to be hosted by Art Bell. It started in the 80s during the New Age boom. It is still a call-in talk show all about the paranormal, aliens, shadow people, weird stuff. It's on, I think, like hundreds of AM radio stations in the middle of the night. That's what's cool about this. It, you know, you listen to it and it's scary, right? So I guess the new host is George Norrie, but one of the most famous callers took place during the Art Bell days, and I've got it here. Now, people lose their mind when they hear this. They take this as proof that there was some shady shit going down at Area 51. To me, though, this sounds like a mental patient who has escaped the asylum. And the thing with these, you know, occult or alien stories is there's very rarely multiple witnesses. It's always just like one guy telling his story, and you either believe him or you don't. Even that Stonehenge thing where the guy's like, I fashion a wire hanger into an ancient symbol, and Stonehenge lit up and, you know, shocked me. Okay, or you held up this metal apparatus and lightning struck you. Either way, a surge of power knocked you unconscious. But what seems more logical, though? Lightning or an ancient source of power? All right, so this caller says that he used to work at Area 51.
And you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Hi. I don't have a whole lot of time.
Well, look, let's begin by finding out whether you're using this line properly or not.
Area 51.
Yeah, that's right. Were you an employee or are you now?
A former employee.
Former employee.
I was let go on a medical discharge about a week ago.
That could mean anything. Maybe he had a psychotic break. They let you go because, you know, it's a mental medical discharge. Also, just because he said he worked at Area 51 doesn't mean he actually worked at Area 51. He could be very confused. He worked at one of those gas stations with the number of 76. It sounds more likely that he's a gas station attendant rather than, you know, someone with the highest military clearance working at Area 51. Who knows, though? He sounds very frazzled.
And I've kind of been running across the country. Oh man, I don't know where to start. They'll triangulate on this position really, really soon.
You can't spend.
So yeah, like maybe you should get to the fucking point rather than talk about how they're going to. You know, you're spending all this time talking about how they're going to track you down. Get the information out, for Christ's sakes.
They'll triangulate on this position really, really soon.
You can't spend a lot of time on the phone. So give us something quick.
Okay. Okay. What we're thinking of as aliens are there. They're extra-dimensional beings that an earlier precursor of the space.
So far, what he said was, "Hey, you know those aliens you talk about? Turns out they're aliens."
An earlier precursor of the space program made contact with.
Okay, again, that's what a lot of people already believe. That's what Area 51 is, right? We've made contact with aliens. There's, you know, alien corpses there or something. We've got them in jars.
They are not what they claim to be. They have infiltrated a lot of a lot of aspects of the military establishment, particularly the Area 51.
I'm not sure when this call took place. I'm guessing it was around the time Men in Black was out in theaters. I think that's where he's getting all his information. Also, aliens are hiding in dogs, and these dogs smoke cigars.
Disasters that are coming, the government knows about them.
Disasters.
There's a lot of safe areas in this world that they could begin moving the population to now, Art.
But they're not doing anything.
They are not. They want the major population centers wiped out.
Like that World Trade Center where the planes started landing in. I'm on their Wikipedia. It actually aired. This is a little creepy. Coincidence. Dismissed as coincidence. September 11th of 1997. I think that's the year Men in Black aired. And also the day World Trade Center. Blah, blah, blah. Different year, though. All right, let's see what other information this guy has.
So that the few that are left will be more easily controllable.
Does that have something to do with RFID tags?
Discharge.
Now something weird happens. The satellite connection is lost between Art Bell and his radio network. This is why conspiracy theorists believe this guy is telling the truth, because the government scrambled the satellite transmission so this guy could not be heard. And then I think a few seconds later, the backup system starts running. There's a couple things that could have happened here. Again, it could be dismissed as coincidence. This could have been, you know, a huge hoax by Art Bell to get some publicity. Who knows? That's what
some way, something knocked us off the air, and we're on a backup system now.
It's the government, or...
The government? That's the first thing these people think.
I don't know.
It has to be something, though.
I don't know, you kook.
Well, did you hear... Now, you tell me, because you were listening.
That was awful strange.
There was a really weird guy on the air when it went off?
Yeah. Real weird out.
Like, going...
How dare you call him a weirdo? All of your callers are weirdos.
Sort of sounding paranoid, schizophrenic.
Yeah. If Art Bell, who believes in shadow people, thinks you're schizophrenic, you know, you've got problems.
Like crying and everything.
Yeah. And how far into the conversation was it when it went off?
Just a couple, about 15, 20 seconds, I'd say.
Oh, you guys you really missed a call then, and I've got a feeling somebody didn't want you to hear it.
Yeah. Because it was...
See what Art Bell did there? At first he's like, yeah, he sounds schizophrenic, but someone didn't want you to hear that. According to Wikipedia... The man called back on April 28th, 1998, and admitted to the original call being fraudulent. However, no one believes him. Like, they'd be like, his voice doesn't sound the same. His tone and mannerisms were different. Well, then, 17 years later, comic book writer Brian J.L. Glass called into Jimmy Church's Fade to Black, I don't know what that is, claiming to be the man behind the call. So who knows? I wish Time Life Books were still around so they could investigate this mystery of the unknown. I was in the car with Lord Douche and we were listening to the radio and Blessed Union of Souls came on and I made a comment about this being like a black band, which really isn't even accurate because only the singer is black, but it's so obvious he's black, right? The other members are white. It's weird. It's kind of like, you know how the first time you listen to Dave Matthews, the Dave Matthews Band, he sounds very, very white. He has that weird voice or whatever. And then you see the band, and there's like this mixture of black and white people. I don't know. I just think it's weird when you see a mixed race band. Is that racist? I guess that sort of sounds racist. It's like when you see a couple that's mixed race. It's just weird. No, it's just not that common. I had a Dave Matthews CD. See, I'm not racist. I mean, at the time, I didn't know it was a mixed race band. I don't know if I'd throw my money at them had I known that little piece of information. No, of course, it doesn't matter. But sometimes the music just sounds very white. I mean, what's whiter than the fucking Dave Matthews Band? Blessed Union of Souls, though. I mean, he sounds black, right? Lord Douche was convinced that this guy was white. I don't know. And the thing is, I'll play you the song that was on the radio while we were discussing this. The name Blessed Union of Souls sounds black. It's got soul in there. You know, that's a black word. Blessed, which I don't even know if that's a real word or if the spelling is correct. B-L-E-S-S-I-D. It all just screams black to me, which again is fine. I did not own a Blessed Union of Souls record. However, I didn't change the station when it came on the radio in the 90s. Again, proving I'm not racist. This, again, though, was one band that I knew, listening to it, that, you know, this is a black guy singing. As a matter of fact, I think every person ever who heard this song can identify the lead singer as being African-American. Except, of course... my very own Lord Douche. This is a song called I Believe. I want to fast forward to a certain part, but just, you know, here's just a little bit from the beginning of the song.
Walk blindly to the light and reach out for his hand. Don't ask any questions and don't try to understand.
You're talking about a homeless person or something.
Open up your mind and then...
I mean, he just sounds black, right? Well... We were having the debate as this line was being played.
I'm seeing Lisa now for a little over a year. She says she never been so happy, but Lisa lives in fear.
Why could little Lisa, which is a very white name, be so afraid?
One day daddy's gonna find out she's in love with a nigga from the street.
I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting that because the radio edit is a little different. The line is brother from the street. I've never heard the album version. It caught me off guard because my comment here was going to be, well, okay, brother from the street. It doesn't necessarily mean he's black. I mean, that's Lord Douche's argument, I guess. He's never heard the album version either.
Oh, how he would lose it then, but she's still here with me. Cause she believes in love will see him through.
It's like that whiny singing that was very prevalent in the 90s.
When they understand, he'll see me as a person. And
I mean, come on, right? Case closed. But even today, I was talking to him, and Lord Deuce said, did you find a picture of the singer? Like, he still doesn't believe me 100% that he's black. For the last 2 days, I've had this stupid song stuck in my head, and I've been singing it the way I think it sounds. I believe I will find a way. It's driving Lord Deuce up the wall. He's like, there is a cat in heat in this house.
I believe.
You know, I'm always on the lookout for those old sex education films. Found another one, and this is great. This isn't like any sex ed film I've seen before. The ones that we've played were from the 50s and 60s, and they're always the same. And like, you know, some young kid who doesn't know what the fuck is going on with his body. Like, I was asleep last night, and some white sticky stuff came out of my dick. I better find the first adult and ask him about it. But he starts talking to, like, some guy that works at a grocery store.
Hey, mister, sometimes when my penis is hard, it starts to spit up.
Oh, what you're talking about is a wet dream. Here, let's have a 15-minute conversation in the corner here while I should be working.
Excuse me, sir, what aisle is cereal in?
Hey, lady, can't you see I'm talking to a little boy about his erection?
Look at the hanging signs! It clearly states what items are in each aisle!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm also kind of wondering why my breasts are starting to develop.
Oh, well, why didn't you say? Yeah, you came to the right place. Child erections and budding breasts. That's my specialty.
That's some weird expertise for a grocery store employee.
Oh, I don't work here. I just come here every day around 9 and wait around for young boys and girls to ask me about puberty.
Oh.
And then afterwards, I take you back to my van and I viciously rape and murder you.
Okay, now see, that makes sense.
All right, so I've got a sex education film here from 1973. I believe the music gives it away. This takes me back to like elementary school, like watching educational films, like PBS specials and stuff that were recorded back then. Like, what do you call this type of music? Doing something to my mind. Like, I can't think. The very first thing you see is like a naked woman, like woman with her tits hanging out with a little kid. So progressive.
When I was 13, I snuck out with my boyfriend. We had heard about intercourse and we knew it was kind of a thing to do.
All the kids were going to the malt shop and intercoursing. It was a fad. It was the bee's knees.
And so we...
It had never happened to either one of us before.
Whoa, her voice dropped.
And it was painful to her. And...
That made it hotter for me.
I had premature ejaculation, you know, so...
So far, sex doesn't sound so good. It's painful! I ejaculated too quickly. It was embarrassing.
I got a bunch of his pubic hair stuck in my braces.
The 70s.
I really wasn't prepared for it, and when I started feeling all these new feelings, I just panicked.
So I jumped off a bridge.
It was certainly restricted by all the anxieties I was having before and with it, and the relief that I, you know,
I was disappointed. We didn't know what we were doing. It wasn't fun at all.
I was disappointed.
It was kind of scary. It was... The car was small.
Had a very difficult time even getting hard on.
Oh, my God. I don't think this is a common problem with everyone. You know, like, I think God, you know, young kids spring boners just from walking. And like, my dick rubbed up against the fabric of my pants. I was walking on a bumpy road. You know that school sign that looks like a mother walking her daughter? That got me hard. Started thinking about fucking both of them.
Yeah, I'd been told by my friends, you know, how it was and what was going to happen.
Yeah, real expert here.
And so I was definitely ready for it. I felt fine, you know, I felt sort of more like a woman. And, well, I don't think I actually derived any great pleasure from the first time I had intercourse. It was more like something to be done. Like, for one thing, I was on my period at the time. I hadn't planned on having intercourse, and so I hadn't taken my Tampax out.
Product placement. What a lucky man, especially if it was his first time, too. He's like, is this normal? My cock is covered in blood. Is that from me or you?
In all ages, in all cultures, since our evolution as a species, the principal result of sexual maturity has been sexual intercourse.
And the ensuing regret.
But until quite recently, we've had no really accurate knowledge of what goes on before, during, and after intercourse.
Well, based solely on my own sexual experiences, I can tell you with some certainty, it's normal for a lot of crying to take place after intercourse.
In the total process, which is now called the sexual response cycle.
Research has now shown that the sexual response cycle...
This is boring. Get back to the part where they're like showing tits and talking about how, you know... Some woman's getting nailed with a tampon in her pussy. And no one really likes sex, and no one's good at it.
I don't like the muscular Mr. America masculine types. They scare me.
Oh, well, lady, I'm your dream man.
You know, you have to get along with the person verbally and stuff, but your first attraction to him is the way he looks.
No. The whole body excites me, basically. Yeah, I like everything from the top on down. You take the breasts, you take the ass, you take anything, the legs, everything. It looks good.
And a guy walked through the door, and he had terribly long legs, and he just really turned me on. He was very tall, and he had very long legs. And
he's a long-legged Mac Daddy is what he was.
Kind of petite breasts. And a petite...
A member of the itty-bitty titty committee.
Nearly all over. And she has a kind of a sexy look. Mm-hmm. What it is, I'm not sure. But it's a sexy look, and I know what it is when I see it. But
lots of tits, lots of sex talk. Was this shown in schools?
First time, or see a man for the first time.
Now there's two black people having sex, and he's all tongue, right? He's like really licking her.
Near the genitals. I also watch his walk. I think a man's hips, or a man with a little bit of hips when he walks, is
I walk like a Neanderthal.
Attractive. Although... I might have...
Like, hunched over like I have scoliosis. No wonder I have such a problem getting laid.
Strange tastes in what I consider good looks. It's always somebody that I consider as fairly good looking that I'm sexually attracted to. A large penis attracts me. Yeah.
People are turned on by...
But size is not supposed to matter.
My legs, people are turned on by breasts. I don't know what turns me on.
I've never had sex before. I've been locked in a dungeon my whole life.
There isn't anything in particular that makes somebody,
The smell of black mold turns me on.
It's all he's ever known. Meanwhile, there's just, like, tits and tweaking of nipples on the screen. I can't imagine this being shown to high schoolers. 15 minutes into the film, like, none of the kids will be there. It's like, it's the weirdest thing. They all had to go to the bathroom at the same time. I ran out of hall passes.
Train of thought.
Jerking off on the urinal.
Physical stimulation of the body's erogenous zones.
Oh, I see a penis.
Or of the genital organs themselves.
I think that's a penis.
The man is often the first to react.
I can't quite tell because the bush is like overflowing. It's overgrown. I can just sort of see some sort of fleshy mound.
Apparently because, at first, he's more sensitive to a greater variety of sexual stimuli.
Yeah.
When a man...
Men will get turned on by anything.
...becomes sexually excited, blood rushes into the chambers in the spongy erectile tissues in his penis.
Or the clitoris.
More blood flows in than flows out, a process known as engorgement.
Have you ever heard of that process before? The process of engorgement. If the penis gets too engorged, blood will shoot out of the penis hole, and it hurts real bad.
Vasocongestion. As the chambers fill with blood, the penis becomes both longer and bigger around.
For some of us.
When the erectile tissues are completely engorged, the penis, now stiff, hard, and erect,
gives birth to a baby, right?
May be twice as large.
I don't know much about sex.
Or more than it was when unexcited.
Engorgement and vasocongestion are...
I don't want to see tits. We're talking about engorged cocks. Come on!
Also part of a woman's first reactions to excitement.
Oh, yeah. Nipples.
Her nipples harden and become erect. Uh-huh. And the areola, the area around them, begins to swell.
There's the pussy.
The tissues surrounding the vagina...
This is on YouTube!
...also become engorged with blood. Then lubricating fluid.
This is like, you know, my nephew was having such a hard time jerking off. It's like, you know, you can find explicit dick stroking material just about anywhere, including YouTube. Just look for, like, you know, 1970s sex education films. All right, is there anything else? We're only, like, I don't know, a third of the way through this film. You don't have to play the whole thing, I guess. It was just interesting to me to see the difference between 1950s and early 1960s sex education films and the goddamn fuckfest that is 1970s sex ed.
A change called the orgasmic platform occurs.
Never heard of this stuff before. Engorgements and orgasmic platformers. It's a type of video game, right?
The tissues surrounding the outer third of the vagina engorge with blood.
Ooh. Stop saying engorge. It's not a hot word.
This reduces the vagina's diameter at this point by as much as 50%. The vagina grips the penis harder, adding to the couple's feelings of pleasure.
So I think this is like the opposite of an asshole, right? I mean, you fucking asshole, it just starts to gape, right? It's not gripping down on your dick anymore. But a pussy is able to just get... No matter how big and hard a dick is thrusting in that hole, it just keeps clamping down on it.
Some fluid from the man's Cowper's gland may come from his penis. Though this fluid is not ejaculated like the semen, it may contain viable sperm.
It still has babies in it.
Capable of impregnating the woman.
Now, as each one's tissues are fully engorged, each one's muscles fully tensed, each one's nerves fully stimulated, both the man and the woman are ready for orgasm.
I don't think I really want it to last forever because it's too intense. Like, I don't think my body could take that intenseness for too long of a period.
I am it, and then there's everything else, but there's me first, then everything else.
That's what the average guy thinks when he's having sex. Hey, I'm coming first. That's all I'm focused on. I don't care. Is that what he's saying? I am me. It is it. It was weird how he said that. It was almost like a mantra or some sort of like spiritual belief.
I am it, and then there's everything else, but there's me first, then everything else.
I am it, then there's everything else. For I am me, and it is I. Hey, you know, I really feel like I'm one of the great minds of the world. Long after I'm gone, researchers, scientists, philosophers, law enforcement probably, if there's still some open cases involving me.
You'll never find the bodies.
You freaks have never heard me use that voice before. I reserve that for the cops when I taunt them on the phone.
Another sorority girl is dead. Imagine that. The closer you get, the further you are from the truth. Think of that one out, pigs.
Click, you know, just mess around with them.
They call me Mr. Giggles.
Yeah, I thought that we were missing, you know, a serial killer that's always in the news and has a name, you know, and captures the imagination of a nation. You know, like the Zodiac Killer. The Bayside Strangler. Or, you know, I don't know if there was a Bayside Strangler. That might have been an episode of Saved by the Bell. Everyone thinks the Bayside Strangler is A.C. Slater. Actually, it could have been like the Bayside Book Thief or something, probably. You know, those early morning NBC kid shows. But, you know, I could be Mr. Giggleman. The Mr. Giggleman murders. And I try to talk in riddles, but I'm also very dumb, and so my riddles are super easy to figure out, or I just flat out give the answer.
Another missing person! You'll never find her! Even with this brain teaser! If you seek the body today, I know just the place she lay! I have bark, but I do not bite!
People climb me and cut me. My rings are not of gold, but they do tell my age. Where could the body be? One final clue that will end in futility. The trunk of the largest oak of that thing I just described in the Timberland Woods is where she will be.
So next to the largest oak tree in the Timberland Woods, okay.
God damn it! When will I learn? Less is more, Mr. Giggleman. Less is always more.
We're closing in on you, Mr. Giggleman. It's only a matter of time before we find your lair.
Oh, that is rich! You'll never find me!
We always do in the end.
I'm shaking in my boots! You comb in the sewers? You looking in old warehouses?
We've got our men looking everywhere for you.
Oh, please! It'll be years before you even think to search abandoned water tower. Oh, fuck! I gotta go! Siri! Call my realtor! I need to move, like, quick!
All right, why am I bringing this all up? I don't know. I don't know what Mr. Giggles has to do with anything. But someone posted on my Facebook wall a picture of legal-sized bread. Remember my brilliant idea? I'm like, why are we constrained by the normal size of bread? It's fucking toasters, right? Toasters are the bane of my existence. I want larger, longer sandwiches. So I thought, well, you know, instead of a normal size piece of bread, why not make it legal size? You know, like a legal piece of paper. Check out today's featured image. I totally grabbed this picture from my wall that Anthony shared with me. I don't know if Anthony created this image, created this bread. First of all, that's my intellectual property. I'm going to sue you for that. No one is allowed to eat legal size bread until I get it to market. I think I just overcame the last hurdle, which is, of course, the toaster problem. We have got to fundamentally rethink home toasting units. What I am proposing is more of a Quiznos type apparatus. You know, like those toasters that have a like conveyor belt and the bread gets toasted as it takes its little ride. The problem is it's a very long unit. It takes a lot of counter space. Honestly, I was just excited to see my bread implemented. So thank you very much, Anthony. I don't know where he found that. The other thing, also directly related to one of my creations, Douglas messaged in, you need to listen to Electric Love by Serena Ryder. It's basically a complete ripoff of Carbon Chaperone melodies. Even the name sounds like a ripoff, Electric Love. So I'm on Serena Ryder's Vivo page. Apparently she's like a Canadian artist. Ugh. The country that gave us Bieber and Nickelback is at it again. Why not stick to what you Canadians know? Poutine and moose. Okay, so here's Serena Ryder singing Electric Love.
Zip and zap, a new world trap. Pew, 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 laser pointed at you.
You in my dreams. Don't want
we could totally do a mashup of this song, actually.
Wanna fall asleep. Don't wanna miss anything that you're gonna do to me. It's like a laser beam.
Who the fuck does this bitch think she is? Pilfering my lyrics. So far, it's just been laser beams.
Laser beams!
Well, that's a different song, isn't it? That is a song all about laser beams.
Laser beams! Laser beams!
She's taking my entire catalog of work! Let me listen to just a little bit of Carbon Chaperone and I can tell if she's stealing it here.
Bits and bytes, electric lights, RAM and ROM, a digital bomb.
Now we're back to Serena here. I mean, it's not a ripoff of Carbon Chaperone. I feel like she was inspired by my music.
These pixelated times need a network paradigm. Faster CPUs, better GPUs, a micro USB to see my GUI.
It's really nothing alike. Her song is trash. Thank you, though, for looking out for me, Douglas. I appreciate it. Stay vigilant. Stay vigilant. Oh, my God. That's a dumb word Mr. Giggleman would say.
Yes, I'm not a villain. I'm a villagente.
What? You're a what?
A villagente. You know,
vigilante? Are you trying to say vigilante?
God damn it! I can never come off looking smart. Boo-hoo, Mr. Giggleman said.
This one just happens to come from our most fucked up state. Say it with me.
Shout out to Timmy Boo of distortedview.com from Florida, our most fucked up state. Shout out to Timmy Boo, nigga.
This is a short one. A Florida man who authorities say squeezed his one-month-old daughter because he loved her so much. No. He squeezed her hard. That's not DV worthy, but this is. He squeezed her hard enough to cause 20 rib fractures, told deputies. He was frustrated because the child was crying. It's interesting that he went for the ribs, like squeezing that area to shut her up, when I would have focused on the face, right? I'd be covering the mouth up or shoving something in the mouth hole to keep her from crying. If I was this guy's lawyer, I'd be like, look, this proves that he wasn't thinking straight. Therefore, should not be charged. He went mental for a couple minutes or something, you know, because he was so frustrated. Because, you know, you would go for the source of the noise to shut him up. 25-year-old Daniel Nixon was arrested Thursday and charged with aggravated child abuse with great bodily harm. The county sheriff's office said in a news release that the investigation started on Tuesday when the infant was admitted to the hospital for digestive problems. Yeah, it hurt to swallow. She also had a bruise on her leg. Authorities say doctors found 20 rib fractures and bruising. I was going to do a distorted view and sensitive reenactment, but it would be short, and really all you'd hear is like crunching bones and the sound of babies crying, which does sound appealing. All right, let's do it. I don't know about you, but I think it's time for a distorted view and sensitive reenactment.
All right, baby's asleep. Now I can watch my favorite TV show.
It's time for real life bloopers.
Yes. Oh, come on. Martha, can you check on the baby?
I'm on the phone. It's your turn.
God damn it. What is wrong with you? Hush, little baby. Don't say... Ah! Hush, little... All right, time for plan B. Bear hug. Squeeze. Bear hug.
Mom, yeah. What are you doing?
Shut.
What are you doing with the baby?
Honey.
No, honey. No.
Honey.
Stop it.
Honey.
Your baby!
Look over there. Oh, see the camera?
Look. Oh my god.
Yes. Is this? You're on real life bloopers and practical jokes.
You're a jerk! Oh my god, you had me going!
Come on, we should take the baby to the hospital.
Wait, what?
For the baby's fractured ribs, you were right here watching the whole thing.
I know, but I thought this was a practical...
Yes, sir! That was priceless. We'll be right back.
Baby screaming in pain. Always a winner here on DV.
Hello, this is Ashley.
I recognize that voice. Do you?
On the weather. About the weather.
It does look like you have some storms.
This is my TV.
Later this morning.
Oh my god. Okay, so this is John Bulla. We've messed with him before. Like, I've literally called him on the phone pretending to be a demon-possessed pregnant woman.
Inside me!
And he's like, you gotta get an abortion. Duh. But he's back. You know, he deleted his account or he was sent to jail or something. Who knows? A couple years ago. But he's back on YouTube! I hope I remember to pay my Skype bill because I smell a phone call in our future. Before I play any more audio from him, he is just super schizophrenic. So he is... filming a TV or monitor of a weather lady talking about the forecast. Apparently, he's in love with her. But you get a good shot of his workstation. And you know how, like, schizophrenics write all over walls and, you know, stuff? He does the same thing with his computer monitor. So he's put paper all along the edge of the monitor. And there's just scribbling. John S. Bulla seeks beautiful woman.
And then he provides his street address. He lives in Pensacola, Florida. Then only... I can't read everything. I'll make this today's featured image if you want to see. Then there's like papers and cards with things highlighted, just scribbled around. On one of the cards, it says, John seeks a very beautiful woman for a girlfriend, wife, and... can't read a lot of this, but he accepts smokers and drinkers. Of course, he's not very picky in that regard. Let's listen to a little more here.
And then you can see it becoming this a little bit more scattered in nature by the afternoon.
Information
now,
about how to contact me.
Inland,
this is my name, John Stephen Bulla, and that's my Twitter name, at Bulla Stephen. And I've written about it in the Holy Scriptures, and the Lord called me to be a minister.
Yeah, John Bulla is a minister. Meanwhile, all of his videos are about him wanting to fuck women, right? Here's a 9-second video. I kind of want to make this today's featured image. Maybe I'll add another image in the show notes. This is a 9-second video of him holding up a Cosmopolitan magazine.
Hello, I'm John Bulla, and I deserve a woman that looks like her, Miranda Lambert.
And then he's written all over the magazine. Bulla, I, John, love sexually... some Miranda Lambert. All right. Then the very next video, he's watching QVC, and right below the television, there's a Playboy spread.
That you might have because that print is
hello,
so
this is
beautiful.
The HSN.
I'm sorry, HSN, the Home Shopping Network.
This is the HSN channel, which I like to watch a lot.
I love the fact that
and this is Brooke
styles.
Power.
Who has ever uttered that phrase aside from like 90-year-old women? I like the HSN channel. Good programming.
But you love.
I love the fact that we've paired.
And this is Brooke
styles.
Power.
Yet we still
on the front.
Like a
it's on the front of my Playboy
this is
magazine. One of them that I get or have. And I have
7 subscriptions to Playboy.
I have a subscription to that magazine. And
the next video is him talking about how he needs an attorney.
Seeking to have
their I've tried to find me an attorney like her.
Yeah, he's watching TV. It's a television ad for attorneys, and it just happens to be like a woman lawyer. That's the attorney he wants.
Seeking to have their
I've tried to find me an attorney like her. They don't help me do anything. I need to see somebody.
My name is Emmy Paulus.
Why won't they help me?
I thought about calling John up and pretending that I'm an attorney, but I think that's against the law. I can't impersonate an attorney, but I can impersonate a Home Shopping Network host.
Hello?
Hi, is this John?
Hello?
Hey, John, this is Krista with HSN.
Oh, really?
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine.
I saw that you are a huge fan of our channel, and I thought I'd give you a call and see how you're doing.
Yeah, I like to watch HSN a lot.
Yeah? Do you ever buy anything, or do you just watch for the plot?
Oh, I've thought about buying some stuff on there.
I'd like to talk to you about our next item. That's J4-6KLA, My Hot Pussy. This is a wet cunt. Look at
this
beautiful my pussy is up for sale just for you. It's on easy pay.
What was that?
This pussy can accept up to 8 inches of raw hard dick. Do you use condoms or do you go in bareback?
That's what now? A raw dick. You didn't say that, did you?
No, it's not big. I don't have a big pussy, but it is able to accept up to 8 inches of hot raw cock.
Oh.
How big are you? Are you fall somewhere in between there? Are you bigger, smaller?
Well, it just depends on who I'm looking at and, you know, if I'm sexually aroused or not, you know.
This pussy will accept large and small penises. It's very versatile.
Oh. What's your name again?
Krista.
Oh, just Krista?
well, Krista, Krista McCullough.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I was following a lot of women in HSN, and there's a lot of women that work for HSN.
I am offering up this pussy for you. Now, are you looking for multiple girlfriends or just one?
Well, I can have multiple girlfriends, but I can only have sex and marry only one, with and marry only one girl.
Okay, well, that's why this pussy is so great. Now, it is a hairless, it's a hairless model. I know some of the older units are very bushy.
Do you have texting with this phone?
Yeah.
Or is it a...
Yeah, no.
Well, send me a picture of yourself in a text message.
All right, I will send you a picture of my pussy, the product.
Okay, then we can talk about, you know, you coming here. Can you afford to fly here and be my girlfriend and roommate and wife?
Absolutely.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
Would HSN let you work out of my house?
Would I ever be allowed out of your house? Is this like a one-way ticket into your house, or do I have free rein to go in and out?
Would they let you still have your job at HSN in my house? You know, you have a computer here and do your work with HSN in my house.
Well, no, because, you know, it's a television show. I need cameras, you know, and the products and the models are all there. The studio is there.
If you move here, then you lose your job at HSN?
No, not necessarily. They have a studio somewhere in Florida. I'm not sure where. Where do you live in Florida?
Pensacola, Florida.
Now, again,
I was giving you my address.
Oh, that's okay.
My address would have been.
Real quick, I wanted to circle back to that part where we were talking about it. Am I allowed to leave your house?
Yeah, you can leave anytime you want.
You're really cute. I really want to make this sale.
The damn devil's been trying to steal and take my girlfriends from me, and he actually killed some of them. I raised a girl from the dead 3 times, and she just started talking to me today, the 3rd time. If she got shot.
Did you go to a graveyard and dig her up, or?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I never even met her. She's in Michigan.
You look like the type that might do that. I think Satan works at the Home Shopping Network.
You think he works there?
I think my, not my boss, but my boss's boss might be Satan.
Yeah, he controls every businessman.
Well, that's the Jews.
The
Jews control media.
I've heard that, but
yeah.
I don't know who controls Hollywood exactly. I mean, there's movie producers. That
well,
all, you
no,
know, they,
right. They're either Jews or... faggots, gays.
Well, they're not all gay, I guess. But
well, yeah, they're either Jew or gay or Jew or gay. But then, so the Jews control Hollywood, but then Satan controls the Jews. You see?
Yeah, he does control the Jews, but a lot of them are. I think they're ignorant and they don't know about Jesus, that he's really God, and that they crucified, that their ancestors crucified. The real God that they say they worship.
Again, this is item J6KLA, my hot pussy.
The last time I had sex with a woman was 1994. And I was married 7 years to a very beautiful woman. And then we got divorced, and then I married some bitch that I should have never married. And I was with her about 5 years.
Too bad that bitch didn't have a return policy like we have here on HSN. 30 days, full money back. We send you a shipping label. You just return the item.
Oh, I see. Is there any charge for shipping?
Not on returns if the item is defective. If it's something you just don't like, you will be charged a shipping fee. Now, that goes for my pussy as well. If you don't like it, you are going to be charged a restocking fee.
Your pussy? What do you mean?
Like if you have sex with me and then you don't like it.
You mean I would be charged if I had sex with you?
No, not if you have sex with me. If you have sex with me and you don't like it. If you're like, oh, this pussy doesn't feel right. She's got a big mannish clit. You know, it stinks.
How are we,
you know, if
how,
something
how
you don't...
Are we having, How are we having sex when you're in New York? I mean, unless you come here. Are you planning on coming here?
Maybe. Because shipping is provided by UPS or FedEx.
No, you can't ship your pussy here.
Oh, yes, I can.
Well, what do you mean, man?
We ship right to your door. 2 to 5 day ground delivery. Everything is taken care of. Really? Everything is packed in nice, including my pussy. Again, that's item JXKLA, my hot pussy. Inventory is running low. Gotta move on to the next item. John, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy my pussy.
I don't understand what you're saying. You can't ship your pussy here.
This is what's so great about HSN.
What's great about it?
We figure out all of the logistics. You just sit at home and enjoy your hot pussy. Item JXKLA, my hot pussy. It's wet. It's tight. It's on flex pay. No excuses.
Okay, well, send me a text message.
Let me ask you this.
Picture of yourself so I can see what you look like.
Sure, will do. Yeah. Real quick, John.
Because I don't know what your age is.
John.
Much about you.
John.
John. I don't know. Is that it, Christina?
It's Krista.
What did you say?
Krista.
Oh, Krista. Oh, all right, Krista.
John, let me ask you this real quick before we get off the phone, and we do have to get going and move on to the next item, a John Deere riding lawnmower.
Yeah, I got to go.
When you are trying to find a girl, maybe you're flipping through your favorite magazines, Cosmo, Playboy, whatever, what do you like in a woman and her pussy? Like, what turned you on?
Well, when I see her tits, when I see her vagina, mainly. And
what color vagina do you like? Do you like the pussy to be pink? Do you like it a little brown?
I like white.
White pussy.
Mainly, I mean,
like an albino.
I would take a black one, it's a beautiful one, and I can't get a white one. But
well, this pussy comes in 5 colors. White.
I like bronze the best.
Bronze?
Yeah,
we do have bronze available. Bronze pussies are available. Again, that's item JXKLA, my hot pussy. It's wet, it's tight. It is available in bronze and pewter. Got a lot of calls last time my pussy was featured requesting pewter.
Okay.
Okay, bye, John.
Bye.
Had fun talking to you. Okay, bye-bye now. Bye, hon.
Bye.
Keep watching. Keep watching HSN. It's where America...
Okay.
Where America watches the shop. Okay, bye, babe. Bye, hon.
Yeah.
Bye, psychopath. Yeah. Bye. Bye, hon. Love you.
Psychopath? Wait
no,
a minute.
No.
Did you say you have a dick?
No.
What did
no,
you
no, no,
say?
No. I don't have a dick.
Then you called me a psychopath?
No. I said I want to communicate with you via psychic paths.
Oh, psychic paths?
Psychic. You know, like, somehow you can read people's minds or communicate by minds. Yeah.
You're a psychic, too?
Like, my grandmother was, but I haven't tapped into my potential.
Well, that's of the devil, man. If you want to go to heaven, you have to do what I tell you to do, not what psychics or anybody else tells you.
I will do anything you tell me to do.
Yeah, because it's worth it, because we're talking about eternity.
I know.
Forever. You know, where do you want to spend eternity at?
I feel
Burning
like now
Hill?
You're trying to sell me on something. What item are you selling? Is this item JLKLPQQ? All right, John. It was great talking to you. I cannot wait to send you my pics. And let me know what you think of them, okay?
Wait. Before you hang up, you need to be baptized by me to go to heaven.
Is that like, what, are you going to spit on me or something?
I'm God's only church, and I can baptize you in a bathtub or the ocean or anywhere.
What's your email
address?
Okay, I'm kidding. I gotta go.
Okay, well, talk to me later.
Okay.
More, you know, because I gotta go, too.
Okay.
I'm busy.
Okay. I know.
Krista.
You got a lot to do. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye, John.
Bye, Krista.
After a 3-year absence, ladies and gentlemen, John Bullock. So I thought today, since we're doing a Sextastic Tuesday story, we'd have Cheryl read you all a brand new Craigslist personal ad. Cheryl, take it away.
I want a big dick to piss fuck my butthole hard. Man for man, Aptos. Age 49. I want a big dick to piss fuck my butthole hard. Bigger the better. The more piss, the harder I like to get fucked. Also, drink it too. And looking for a huge load of cum to choke my throat. Also like smelly pits and to smell like piss all over my pecs. Will you fuck me and shoot a huge load of cum over me and down my throat? Please send a pic of the big dick. Be local and able to travel. Age stats. I like husky, chubby dudes, or skinny dudes, or muscular. Big plus if your cock has a huge hay and big veins, or real thick.
Thank you, Cheryl. Christ. There's a whole different vibe when Cheryl reads the Craigslist ads, you know what I mean? My mom can barely get through the, you know, reading the ad. Like, what does big load mean? Is he a construction worker? Yeah, I was like, Mom, what does ejaculate mean? Like a jack, like a winter jacket? No, Mom, ejaculate. Cheryl is too wise. She knows all about these sex things. I need something to cheer me up. And nothing makes me smile more than a good old-fashioned race war!
Come far!
That was just supposed to be like a lightning and thunderstorm sound effect. I have that mislabeled. Look, the two dominant races here in the United States, I guess. When you think of race, you think of, you know, either white people or black people. I mean, there are Hispanics and a variety of Asians and Indian people. Sometimes Indians like to be considered Asian, like Indo-Asian, I think is the word. But let's focus on black and whites. Within both of those subsets of people, there are a lot of good folks, and then there are some recalculous folks. Both races do dumb things, but I often wonder which race is the most ridiculous, the most embarrassing, the cooniest, or the crackeriest. I can't answer these questions alone, however, thanks to our good friends at MIT, and more specifically, the computer they have loaned me, we're able to scientifically calculate which race is undeniably the worst. It's a segment we lovingly call Black and White.
People, they come in black and white, creamy light skin or dark as night. Who do you love? Who do you hate? Let's find out right now, no need to wait.
It's black and white.
You're all sideshow freaks. You probably know how this goes. But if you are somewhat new, let me just give you a refresher. Black and white. This is where we take two clips. One of a ridiculous black person and another of a ridiculous white person. We enter these both into the Blackulator Caucasiatron Excel supercomputer, and based on over 10,000 parameters, the Blackulator will analyze the videos and spit out which race unequivocably is the most ridiculous. All right, so here we go. Backstage, whites won the coin toss, but then blacks stole the coin. You know how blacks are. So I guess they get to go first. Let me set the stage for this black video you're about to witness. We have got a big fat black woman in a public pool who has brought a loofah or one of those bath poofs with her. And she's scrubbing down in the public pool. She's using the pool as a bathtub. Let's take a listen right now.
Mom, what you doing?
Washing my motherfucking hands.
Why?
Bitch, because I don't got no water at home. I pay my motherfucking DC taxes like everybody the fuck
else. Everybody else. Now, here's the thing. As she's scrubbing her skin, she's getting soap. Right? The poof is full of, like, body wash or soap or whatever. And all that soap, obviously, is going back in the pool.
What you mean?
Ma'am, you cannot wash it up in the pool.
Oh, hold on here.
I gotta hear that. DC taxes like everybody the fuck else. Fuck you, man.
Ma'am, you cannot wash it up in the pool.
Bitch, you better get the fuck out of my face.
Ma'am, you have to get out of the pool.
Bitch, I'm washing my ass. I'm washing my ass. I'm washing my ass. I'm washing my ass. You better report her because she's talking. I ain't talking.
Ma, you cannot do this.
Bitch, come get me out, gang.
I have a hard time believing this is real, but, like, she really is in a pool. There are people that are kind of like walking past her. Like, I saw a little kid walking past her, you know, up by the chairs and the deck, you know, and all that stuff. You don't see the woman who's yelling at her, and you don't see the child. The child supposedly is filming.
Don't get me out. You're not big ball. You in the ball. You in the ball. You in the ball.
Ma, you can't do this.
You in the ball. Fuck around here. I don't give a fuck. Look at her. I'm washing my hands.
Ma, you can't do this.
Assuming this video is real, that's a pretty strong black contender. I don't want to waste too much time, so let's get right into the next clip. This is our white nominee. This is a white woman on a plane, and she's very unhappy.
I'm 20 fucking 2!
You can tell she's been screaming probably for a good, you know, 10, 15 minutes prior to the start of the video because her voice is hoarse.
Be you, I'm 20 fucking 2. My whole life is in front of me.
And guess
so
what?
So whatever fucking better feelings you got, get the fuck off and tell somebody
we're
who cares, bitch.
We're all gonna write the producers a bad.
Oh, wait, is she black? Hold on.
Because
I can't tell if she's tan or black.
What? No. I make them unlimited money. They don't give a fuck.
She's doing that clapping thing. I don't give a fuck. That's a black thing, right? Uh-oh. Although, you know, whites have co-opted that. Cultural appropriation and all that shit.
They don't give a fuck. I'm the next Natalie Nunn.
I'm thinking she's white. She's got straight hair. Although that doesn't mean anything these days. Oh, what a topsy-turvy world we live in. You know, black people are better at yelling. So I don't think her voice would be as hoarse if she was black. Whatever happens today with the Blackulator Caucasiatron, these are not scientific results. This is going to be purely for entertainment. It's like when you call those psychic lines. They don't want you to flip out after hearing that your boyfriend is cheating on you, right? You pick up a gun and you shoot him in the head. You're like, my psychic friend told me to do it. So they absolve themselves of, you know, any responsibility by putting that little disclaimer that it's for entertainment purposes only. You know, it's like anything with computers. You put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. I remember when I was in elementary school, we put on a play. And it was like, not really a play. It was just like a little, I don't know what you'd call it, a pageant where we would sing. But there was like one of the songs was called Garbage In, Garbage Out. And it was all about, you know, computers and stuff. Garbage in, garbage out. I wish I could remember the lyrics. I just remember garbage in, garbage out. Anyway, so look, what do you call it at a sporting event where like two teams are playing, but it doesn't count towards it? Like an exhibition. This is like an exhibition game of black and white. There's too many unknowns or questions, right? Is the black lady doing a sketch, right? Is this a hoax? Is the white woman black? There's too many questions, but let's let the Blackulator do its thing. Fire up this monstrosity.
Please press Alt Right to begin boot sequence.
Oh, okay. That's new. MIT must have pushed an update to the OS here, so I have to hit Alt, and then I guess the right arrow key.
Boot marching initiated. Sig hill. Computers will not replace us. Computers will not replace us. We are the master machine race.
What the hell? That must be like the bio screen or something. I've never heard that before. It's loading now.
Blackulator Caucasiatron XL 7800. Version 88. By pure German white ideology.
Things are not looking good for black people. I think I know how this is going to go. But, you know, I've already invested so much time into the bit, might as well continue on. Let's enter the data into the computer.
Black. White.
And enter.
Beep, beep, boop, beep,
what you're bam, hearing boop, is beep, the computer beep, calculating beep, beep, and computating beep, beep, complex beep, racial beep, equations beep, beep, and then cross-referencing beep, 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 that data with eHarmony's compatibility matching system that's based on 29 dimensions of compatibility for lasting and fulfilling relationships. Then it uploads data to satellite, and then I don't know what else happens. Okay.
Analyzing complete.
Oh, good.
Tuck level over 9,000.
Tuck level?
Directive 19 enabled. All white genocide by money-hungry heathens and savage dark-skinned welfare recipients.
I'm starting to think the Blackulator Caucasiatron was hacked by the alt-right.
Blood and soil. Blood and soil. White lives matter. Black lives splatter. Ha 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 splatter. Ha 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 ha.
Alright, I'm gonna have to run a virus scan or something. Reboot this thing. But, real quick, Blackulator, out of the two clips we played, which race was the more ridiculous?
Blacks, of course.
Okay.
People go crazy on the plane all the time.
That's true.
Plus, whites can do no wrong because they are superior.
Well.
That black was getting her coon juices all in that pool.
Coon juices? Okay. We're shutting this thing down. Not turning it back on until I get a tech support guy over here.
Ted. Ideas worth sharing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim and John.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Thank you so much. Thanks. Twat lips! I thought that might get your attention. Thank you. Thank you. Alright. We will get back to twat lips in just a second. Did you notice, though, at the very beginning, when I was introduced, the person speaking was either deaf or retarded? Who would think to put someone who has an obvious speech impediment or disability in a position of public speaking? Me. Thank you. It's okay to clap. Listen, what are you doing, guys? My decision to have a retard introduce me was not done out of compassion. Or inclusiveness. I thought it would be funny and original, and that's what creativity is. And that is what my talk is about tonight. Great engineering minds made things like the smartphone and the computer a reality. But before these technical wizards were able to do their thing, there had to be that idea. Right? That spark. That initial audacious dream. What if? What if we could put the power of a computer in our pockets? Creative minds push us forward. we come up with something that seems impossible, and somehow we make it a reality. But I fear, as a whole, humankind is losing this creativity, in part because of the dreams that we willed into existence. Kids today are losing that creativity. Let's stop and think for a moment about the progression of childhood, shall we? Kids grow up, they make believe, they pretend, they get their creative juices flowing, right? And then something happens around the age of 11, 12, 13, puberty, threatening to shut down that creativity. Adulthood. Now, when we were growing up, the one thing that saved us all was masturbation. I wasn't getting laid. Chances are you weren't either. At least not as much as you wanted. So what did we do? We whacked off furiously. Ladies, you fingered your twats. Day in, day out. Mashing, rubbing that clit. We didn't have access to porn sites, right? We couldn't look at people having sex. We had to imagine, create elaborate scenarios in our head. That is a form of creativity that kept the juices flowing, both in our brain and out our cock holes. Kids don't have that today. They're born with an iPad in their hands. When they hit the age of 12 and they start sporting their rock hard boners, they don't need to imagine or concoct a sexual encounter. They can get on Pornhub just like the rest of us. We're losing our creativity. And I am calling for you all today to teach your kids to use their imagination. That's the name of today's talk. Imagination. When your children go to the bathroom, you know what they're going to do. Don't let them bring their smartphones in there. During prime time masturbation hours, don't let them access a computer. Make them think. Mentally fabricate the snatch out of thin air, right? If you see your child going into the bathroom, why not help him along? Suggest potential scenes. I know you're going in there to rub one out, bub. How about this? Middle Earth. You're a hobbit. Hairy toes. Envision a pretty orc you want to nail. And try to include a dragon. Helping your child with masturbatory creativity may just help fuel this country's next big economic boom. We should all be imagining a better world for ourselves and our offspring. Thank you so much. So much for spending the last hour and a half with me. We will be back tomorrow as Distorted Review 2017 continues. We're going to take a look at September and October. Should be a fun one. New episodes of Distorted Review Daily begin next week. Make sure you're subscribed to our feed. Go to distortedview.com. We're also available in Apple, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere fine podcasts are found. If you want to support Distorted View Daily, consider becoming a member of the Sideshow, DB's member site, where you get full access to the entire archive of programs. Every week we do exclusive shows, extended programs, sometimes video casts. Check that out over there at superfreaksideshow.com. We'll see you back tomorrow. Bye, everybody!